Greetings to the house of the anointed children of Jacob Yisrael, my white Anglo-Saxon brothers and sisters. This is part 12 of Sickness vs. Health. You can follow along with the article by going to thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Sickness vs. Health is found in the Word Studies menu. Sicknesses, calamities, and afflictions are warning signs from Yahweh that you are wandering out of the way. We are told over and over that if we shall indeed obey Yahweh's voice and do all that he instructs, then he will withdraw afflictions and illnesses away from the midst of you. We continue in Romans. Paul continues to talk about the law, the Torah, that we should seek to establish the law. Romans 8:1. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Yeshua, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Yeshua had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak, or that it was infirm through the flesh, Elohim sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. The original Greek is a little clearer. The law is powerless, in that it has been infirm through the flesh. Yahweh sending his own Son in the likeness of errant flesh, and amidst guilt, condemned guilt in the flesh. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you don't know the law and don't follow it, how can you be righteous? If you don't know the law, but follow the law written on your heart, and do the things in the law by nature, then you are accounted as righteous. But the churches have taught our people how to ignore the law on their hearts and to do the things contrary to his laws by telling them they are Gentiles, saved, under grace, and to just believe, teaching them to mind the things of the flesh under the guise of becoming spiritual Israel by accepting a Jew into their hearts and being a Christian without works. Verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the flesh, is hostile against Elohim, for it is not subject to the law of Elohim, neither indeed can be. The Greek reads, For the purpose of flesh is death, but the purpose of the Spirit, life and peace. Because the purpose of the flesh is hostility to Yahweh, then to the law of Yahweh it is not obedient, neither is it able to be. James 4:4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with Elohim? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is an enemy of Elohim. The world loves Jewish Jesus because he did away with the law and he loves everybody, and all you have to do is just believe on him. Those people live according to the flesh. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please Elohim. If you are living according to false doctrine, fellowship with the mainstream society and the world, and partake of the desires of flesh that are contrary to the law, and worship a Jew, you cannot please Yahweh. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Elohim dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not one of his. Our path to salvation is no different than Yeshua's. He was tempted and tried. He kept the law, observed the Sabbaths and feast days, proclaimed the truth, strengthened the infirm in belief and the infirm in health, loved his brethren and the Father, and walked in the way. We must do the same. Future glory, Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings, or for I reckon that the afflictions of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Afflictions from the present world system for following Christ equals future glory. Romans 8:24. For we are saved, or for we are restored by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? So are we saved just by hoping? No. Hope is expectation. Expectation of what? That just by believing in Jewish Jesus we get a rapture ticket? No. We can be restored in body, mind, and spirit in this life by the expectation of the reward of knowing, living, and witnessing the truth. It's still up to Yahweh if we are delivered into the next life. Verse 25. And if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with endurance. This is called being an overcomer. Overcome this life through the knowledge and obedience and endurance. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, or our weaknesses, or unfirmnesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of Elohim. 1 Chronicles 28:9. Know you the Elohim of your father, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. For Yahweh searches all hearts, and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. The infirmities spoken of in verse 26 are referring to the weaknesses and unfirmness of what's on our hearts and minds. That would be directly related to the doctrine we live by and the God we worship. It matters which doctrine and which God. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love Elohim, to them who are called according to his purpose. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If the churches love him, why don't they keep his commandments? If they are called, why don't they answer the call and do what he says? Because they are so deceived and unfirm in their knowledge that they are giving all their love to Haimi Jesus and adopting and tolerating Jewish values, which have destroyed our country, our people, and our overall health. Paul talks about the salvation of the lost nations of Israel in chapter 11. The churches think this is about the Gentiles, but again, their minds are sick, infirm, and unfirm because they believe lies. Paul is speaking to the AD descendants of the BC Israelites who were broken off and scattered because of the national sins, disobedience, and unbelief of the nation in the days of the kings. Paul is telling the Israelite Judeans, who still knew their heritage and the law, to not be jealous or boast because they had some understanding and the lost of the house of Israel did not have or remember their heritage and the law, but was still part of the covenant made with all Israelites and part of the reconciliation through Christ's death. The Greek reads Romans 11:19. Now you will say, those branches have been broken off in order that I would be grafted in? Correct. Or, ideally. In disbelief, they were broken off, and you, to the belief, have stood. Be not proud, but reverent. Verse 21. For if Elohim spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not you. In verse 20, well, in the King James Version, and correct, here from the Greek, is G2573, kalos, an adverb which means well, usually morally. The Greek uses ideally, which has to do with the breaking off, sowing, and mending which produced more fruit, meaning they were broken off because of their moral unbelief. Ideally means rightly, nobly, honorably, so that there shall be no room for blame. In other words, a true Christian following the belief is acting ideally, righteously. A fake or ignorant Christian following false beliefs is acting unrighteously and not ideally. Paul just went through a list of things you have to do to be faithful in chapter 13. Chapter 14 teaches not condemning one another. Romans 14:1. Him that is weak in the faith receive you, or him that is unfirm to the belief receive you, but not to doubtful disputations or arguing of personal decisions. For one believes that he may eat all things, another, who is weak or unfirm, eats herbs. The demon-possessed pastors teaches the congregations that these verses say you can eat pork. Christ did not cleanse unclean animals. He cleansed lost Israelites. If the churches would read more than one verse, they would see the verses that say not to call any man unclean. Many Israelites had a conscience about eating meats sacrificed to idols, which, unless you owned a farm in those days, you got your meat at the temple, which was controlled by the Jewish Pharisees, which sacrificed to their father Baal. So many Israelites ate herbs rather than the meat sacrificed to other gods. Sometimes the brethren would condemn each other for eating these meats sacrificed to idols and caused division. Paul was teaching them to respect each other's habits as long as each individual's method of eating, life, and worship was in accordance with the way. Today, our food production is very pagan, unclean, and handled by the unclean. The solution is not to participate in the sacrifice and to just buy your food, take it home, pray over it, and eat it. Verse 19. Let us, therefore, follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify, or build, or support another. For meat, or food, destroys not the works of God. Or rather, do not destroy the work of Elohim for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats to cause stumbling. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby your brother stumbles, or is offended, or is made weak, or is weakened, or is made unfirm. We must set a healthy example among brethren. It's all about edification and affirmation, not destruction and offenses. We see in Romans that Abraham was not unfirm in belief. Yahweh blessed and covenanted with him, and because of the promises he made to him regarding his descendants, Yahweh sent his son Yeshua to restore the tribes of lost Israelites and strengthen their unfirmness, which the Jewish children of Esau caused through their evil spells and Talmud vision. Paul preaches the restoration to favor through Christ, that doing the law equals obedience, which equals righteousness, which equals being firm servants. That believing church doctrine equals disobedience, which equals unrighteousness, which equals being unfirm servants of Jewish Jesus. That the purpose of flesh is enmity against Yahweh, and the purpose of the Spirit is life and health. That denominational churchianity is unfirm against Yahweh and leads to calamity and sickness. That the Spirit helps us with our weaknesses and unfirmnesses. But if we listen to the flesh and to the religions of Judeo-churchianity, then the Spirit leaves us and we become infirm, unfirm, and demonized. Paul teaches to be edifying and not destroying when it comes to individual habits of eating foods sacrificed to idols. Division in the congregation. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Master, Yeshua Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Perfectly joined together is G2675, katartizo, which means to repair, restore, adjust, mend, perfect, put in order, equip, strengthen. The Greek has attuned or equipped. Paul, the apostles, the prophets, and Christ all used identifying statements of brethren, kinsmen, and family, all describing Israelites. Paul warned of divisions among them and to be an equipped and attuned, perfectly joined body. The Jew propaganda and agenda, the society, and the churches teach universalism, multiculturalism, strength in diversity, and have divided the original word and teaching of Christianity into 33,000 versions of a chaotic, multiracial, ill-equipped, infirm and unfirmed, defiled, satanic body. Verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness, or unfirmness, of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise men according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, that are called. Just because someone holds a high office or is a preacher in some church doesn't mean they are called. Verse 27. But Elohim has chosen the foolish things of the society to confound the wise, and Elohim has chosen the weak things, or the unfirm, of the society to confound the things which are mighty. The Greek reads, but the stupidity, or the insipid, of the system Yahweh chooses that the wise may be disgracing, or viling, and the weaknesses, or, and the unfirm, of the system Yahweh chooses that he may be disgracing the strong, or viling the strong. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines insipid as wanting spirit, life, or animation, wanting power to gratify desire, as insipid pleasure. The Greek is G3474, moros, an adjective meaning foolish, impious, godless, dull or stupid, as if shut up, that is, heedless, morally blockhead, absurd. Webster's defines viling as defamed, debased. The Greek is G2617, katahi skuhuno, a verb which means to shame down, disgrace, dishonor, confound. Verse 28. And base things, or, and ignoble, of the system, and things which are despised, has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. The Greek reads, and the lowborn of the society, and the ones having been scorned, Yahweh has chosen, those that are not lowborn and despised, in order that he may discard and make void those that are foolish. Verse 29, that no flesh should boast in his presence. Isaiah 2:12, for the day of Yahweh of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. The ones living according to the Spirit, the way, the belief, brotherly love, and Yahweh and are despised in this satanic Jewish world system will be protected, blessed, and delivered. And the ones living high and proud, according to the flesh, to falsehood, church beliefs, withhold brotherly love, and are atheists or Jewish Jesus worshippers, and are received and accepted in society, enjoying their reward now, will be made void, discarded, and abased. 1 Corinthians 2:3. And I was with you in weakness, or unfirmness, and in fear, and in much trembling. Weakness is G769, asthenia, and is feebleness of body or mind, unfirm. Acts 18:1. After these things, referring to the events at Mars Hill, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Paul was not unfirm in doctrine. His life was threatened. He had just arrived at Corinth following an uproar in Thessalonica caused by members of Herod's association, the mysterious force, which was created to combat the growing Christianity. It's called Freemasonry today. They were establishing lodges everywhere and attacking disciples since 43 AD. When Paul was waiting in Athens for Silas and Timotheus, he disputed with the stiff-necked Judeos in the synagogues there who were so brainwashed by Jewish doctrine, they took him and brought him to Areopagus, Mars Hill, where the Athenians wasted their time telling and hearing vain philosophy to each other. Paul told them that they were ignorantly worshiping unknown gods and not Yahweh. Most of them did not believe and mocked him, and few believed. 1 Corinthians 4:10. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. The King James Version botched these verses up good. These should be rhetorical questions. Let's examine the Greek. Verse 10. We are fools, insipid ones, for the sake of the anointed. But are you prudent among the anointed? We are unfirm, but are you strong? Are you held in honor, but we unvalued? The people of Corinth were wealthy and reigned as kings, but they have not reigned in the kingdom. Some were acting as though they were something more or better or had some special understanding. There were many false instructors and preachers arising and bringing errors, divisions, and other gospels different than Paul and the apostles. Today, we have over 33,000 gospels claiming Christianity. None of them are the Christianity of Christ. In verse 10, though the anointed is a reference to Christ Jesus, sometimes the Greek word Christos is a reference to the anointed group, meaning Israelites. We are fools for the sake of the anointed, but are you prudent among the anointed? The world sees us as fools for Messiah, fools for our anointed kinsmen. But are you wise among the anointed kinsmen? Who are the anointed kinsmen? The seed of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. Chapter 8 is another section explaining food offered to idols. True Christians will not participate with those sacrificing to idols, and many will not eat the food sacrificed to idols. While some did, but just didn't join the ritual, they just bought their meat and went home and didn't think twice about it. Some caused divisions because others would eat or not eat it. 1 Corinthians 8:7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled, or, and their conscience, being unfirm, is defiled. But food commends us not to Elohim, for neither, if we eat, are we the better, neither, if we eat not, are we the worse. But take heed, lest any means of this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak, or being unfirm. For if any man see you, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is unfirm be injured to eat those things which are offered to idols? Don't be a bad influence to those struggling with trying not to eat food sacrificed to idols. In those days, people got their meat in the cities. The markets were attached to the temple, and since most people then were pagan or Jewish propaganda confused, they sacrificed their meat unto idols and little g gods. The Israelites of Corinth that knew better had a conscience about eating pagan sacrificed meat. Others were weak-minded and ate the meat in the temple, partaking in the rituals, or simply fellowshipping with the idolaters. Paul was saying that if it bothers you, don't eat it. Otherwise, just buy your meat and take it home, pray over it, and don't think twice about it. Also, set a good example for those brethren who are weak-minded. Verse 11, and through your knowledge shall the weak or unfirm brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you go sin against the brethren and wound their weak or unfirm conscience, you sin against Christ. But the churches go their own way and teach that it's okay to eat pork and unclean animals. This is another reason why so many believers are sick and afflicted with chronic diseases, and many of them have trichinosis and other plagues and parasites from not obeying God's food laws. If he cleansed the unclean garbage disposers of the planet, did he also clean the unclean things that they get rid of for us too? Has decay, bacteria, germs, and maggots been also cleansed? In chapter 9, Paul is speaking of his rights as an apostle, that the people he witnessed to are his works, and that it is lawful by the Torah for the laborer to be supported. Paul was a tent maker and provided for himself, and he did not take money from the assemblies or expected to be rewarded. Paul was defending himself from those scrutinizing him. He goes on to explain that he has been entrusted with the management of a family, meaning to bring the good news to the lost tribes of the house of Israel, and that is where his reward is. 1 Corinthians 9:19. For though I be free from all, yet have I made myself servant unto all, speaking of all his racial brethren, that I might gain the more. Paul had no choice but to take on this honor of management of the family once he was given his purpose on the road to Damascus. Once he saw the truth, there was no looking back. Like a man who finds a treasure hid in a field and gives up his unfirm, sick, demonized life as a Pharisee and buys that field. Verse 20, and unto the Judeans I became as a Judean, that I might win the Judeans, to them that are under the law, as though I were under the law, that I might win them that are under the law, speaking of the Torah. Paul was able to relate to them by being able to speak Hebrew and Aramaic, and of the Torah. The Judeans had the law and still knew their heritage. They were familiar with the Torah and tried to live by it. They were unfirm because of the Jewish influence and perversion of the law of Moses, Paul knew he needed to be able to relate to the Israelites outside Judea that forgot their heritage and the Torah, because they were the lost sheep that did not return to the fold after captivity and migrated elsewhere in the Greco-Roman world, still being a violator of the law because they were lawless, because they were the descendants of the cast-off Israelites from the Assyrian and Babylonian punishments. Paul was able to speak Greek as well, being able to relate to these dispersed lost Israelites. Verse 21, to them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to Elohim, but under the law to Christ, that I might win them that are without the law. Without law is G 459, anomos, meaning departing from the law, a violator of the law, lawless, wicked. An antinomian is one who is against the law. The churches are antinomians. Romans 2:12, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. All Israelites are under the Torah. The Torah keeps us in the way. Only the priesthood and its rituals were done away with. The churches are antinomians because they are against the law, against the Torah, against the food laws, against the appointed feast days, and against basically the whole word of Yahweh, because they are infirm in the heart, because Haimi lives there, which makes them unfirm in the truth. Verse 22, to the weak, or unfirm, became I unfirm, that I might gain the unfirm. I am made all things to all, that I might by all means save some, or make whole or restore some. The Greek reads, to all I have become all things, that undoubtedly some I should be saving. Verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. There are several other words related to asthenes, the Greek word for weak or unfirm, that all describe privation, sense of union, association, to stand for, strengthen, establish, covenant, confirm in spiritual knowledge, and to set or place in a balance. Paul was gifted in his delivery of the word to those who needed to hear small, simple doses of the milk, or to deliver the meat, or to bring the fire and brimstone. We all respond differently to the delivery. The goal is to edify, strengthen, and make firm the unfirm. Partaking of the Master's Supper unworthily. 1 Corinthians 11:27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup of the Master unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Master. Unworthily means unfit, irreverently. You have to know what you are doing and why it is done. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you be in the belief. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Yeshua Christ is in you, except you be reprobates, or unapproved because of false beliefs? Verse 29, for he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Master's body. Do you have any idea how seriously damning it is to eat and drink of the cup of the communion with Jewish Jesus? Verse 30. For this cause many are weak, or infirm, and sickly, or ailing, among you, and many sleep, or are reposing. Reposing is the cessation or absence of activity, movement, or animation. To place confidence or trust in something or someone. If you die with Jewish Jesus in your trans-Gentile heart, you will be reposing in what you placed your confidence and trust in. Did you know that Jewish Jesus will be reposing in the lake of fire with all the other false prophets, sheeny vagabonds, demons, and just believers? It's also where the rapture plane goes down. This section needs more attention because of the seriousness of ignorance. Consider the 33,000 denominations which claim Christianity. They all have differing ideas of Jesus. There's Black Jesus, Taco Jesus, Sushi Jesus, Gay Jesus, Genderless Jesus, Baby Jesus, and the most popular and accepted one, Jewish Jesus. These denominations all have different paths to salvation, different holy days, and different Bibles. How does any of this make any sense? Scripture tells us there is one chosen seed, one body, one spirit, one hope, one master, one faith, one belief, one immersion, one God, and one Father. Now there's 33,000. Really?
And for this cause many are weak, unfirm, infirm, and sickly and ailing among you, and many are reposing.
Just to scare the Jewish Jesus out of you before it's too late, here's what Ezra has to say about what happens when you die. 2 Esdras 7:78. Now, concerning death, the teaching is, when the decisive decree has gone forth from the Most High that a man shall die, as the spirit leaves the body to return again to him who gave it, first of all, it adores the glory of the Most High. And if it is one of those who have shown scorn and have not kept the way of the Most High, and who have despised his law, and who have hated those who revere Elohim, such spirits shall not enter into habitations, but shall immediately wander about in torments, ever grieving and sad in seven ways. The unrighteous, the first way, because they have scorned the law of the Most High. The second way, because they cannot now make a good repentance that they may live. The third way, they shall see the reward laid up for those who have trusted the covenants of the Most High. The fourth way, they shall consider the torment laid up for themselves in the last days. The fifth way, they shall see how the habitations of others are guarded by angels in profound quiet. The sixth way, they shall see how some of them will pass over into torments. The seventh way, which is worse than all the ways that have been mentioned, because they shall utterly waste away in confusion and be consumed with shame and shall wither with fear at seeing the glory of the Most High, before whom they sinned while they were alive, and before whom they are to be judged in the last times. Want to know what happens to the righteous when we die? Now this is the order of those who have kept the ways of the Most High, when they shall be separated from their mortal body. During the time that they lived in it, they laboriously served the Most High, and withstood danger every hour, that they might keep the law of the lawgiver perfectly. Therefore, this is the teaching concerning them. First of all, they shall see with great joy the glory of him who receives them, for they shall have rest in seven orders. The first order, because they have striven with great effort to overcome the evil thought which was formed with them, that it might not lead them astray from life into death. The second order, because they see the perplexity in which the souls of the ungodly wander, and the punishment that awaits them. The third order, they see the witness which he who formed them bears concerning them, that while they were alive, they kept the law which was given them in trust. The fourth order, they understand the rest which they now enjoy, being gathered into their chambers and guarded by angels in profound quiet, and the glory which awaits them in the last days. The fifth order, they rejoice that they have now escaped what is corruptible, and shall inherit what is to come. And besides, they see the straits and toils from which they have been delivered, and the spacious liberty which they are to receive and enjoy in immortality. The sixth order, when it is shown to them how their face is to shine like the sun, and how they are to be made like the light of the stars, being incorruptible from then on. That's Shekinah glory. The seventh order, which is greater than all that have been mentioned, because they shall rejoice with boldness, and shall be confident without confusion, and shall be glad without fear, for they hasten to behold the face of him whom they served in life, and from whom they are to receive their reward when glorified. This is the order of the souls of the righteous, as henceforth is announced, and the aforesaid are the ways of torment which those who would not give heed shall suffer hereafter. I answered and said, will time therefore be given to the souls after they have been separated from the bodies to see what you have described to me? He said to me, they shall have freedom for 7 days, so that during these 7 days they may see the things of which you have been told, and afterwards they shall be gathered into their chambers. Paul talks about divine gratuity in chapter 12, that we are each given certain gifts and talents, and each person has something to contribute to the edification of the body of the anointed. Paul is speaking to his Israelite brethren who are the descendants of the B.C. Israelites who were taken away captive and were scattered from the Assyrian and Babylonian conquests and have been led toward dumb idols of the lands. He explains that it is Yeshua whom they must turn to, and if they are led by the Holy Spirit, they must confess and not call him accursed. That we all have diversities of divine gratuity from the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another belief, to another gracious gifts of divine gratuity of the means of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another interpreter of prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another languages, and to another interpretation of languages. But all these work that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. He goes on to explain that each Israelite is a member of the body, that Yahweh sets the members of the body in the body as it pleases him, which shows that he chooses you. The churches teach that they get to choose and accept him. As usual, backwards. Verse 22, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or weaker or unfirm are necessary. Each member of the body must work in unison with the same Spirit, same belief, and toward the edification of the body and the kingdom. The Greek, for verse 28, And while Yahweh places these in the assembly of the called out, firstly ambassadors, secondly interpreters of prophecy, thirdly teachers, after that those with abilities, then gracious gifts of the means of healing, supports, guides, and sorts of languages. Are all apostles? Are all interpreters of prophecy? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all gracious gifts of healing? Do all speak with languages? Do all interpret? Not everyone has the gifts of teaching, of health, or of healing. Not all can interpret and translate. Not all have strength or firmness. That's where the other members of the body come in, to carry each other, to make firm the unfirm, to bring healing to the infirm. An edifying body in motion builds the kingdom. An ignorant, stiff-necked, just-believing, pork-eating, Jewish Jesus-worshipping body at rest for an hour in the pews of churchianity and waiting for the rapture while tolerating evil destroys the kingdom and brings sickness, disease, calamity, wrath, and the second death. Chapter 14 is about gifts of interpretation of prophecy and languages. Those who claim to speak in tongues are fools. There is no profit in gibberish. Those who are blessed with interpretation abilities edifies the body. Some members need the milk. Some need the meat of the word. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Even so you, forasmuch as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body. Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it, then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when you shall bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say Amen at your giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say? For you verily give thanks well, or ideally, but the other is not edified or built up. Well is rightly, or ideally, meaning so that there shall be no room for blame, commendably, honorably, in a good place. Verse 18, I thank my Elohim, I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul is thankful that Yahweh blessed him with the ability to speak Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek so that all may be edified. A healthy body is a body with understanding. Today's denominations are the confusion and because of men, not Yahweh. Yahweh allows them their delusions when they want them more than him. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, or you are restored, preserved, healed, if you keep in memory, or hold fast and do what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Saved is simply mortal preservation, if you keep in memory the teachings. Keep in memory is G2722, kateko, which means to hold down, retain, keep secure, possess. If you don't keep the commandments, you don't love Yahweh. If you just believe, then you are believing in vain. Paul goes on to explain the resurrection of the dead, that if Christ was not raised, then his preaching is in vain, and the belief is vain. That the faith would be empty and you would still be in your sins, and those with the belief that have died are perished. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept, or the ones having been put to repose. By Christ's death, he provided a path back to life. The Israelites who have died in the belief are the first fruits of his harvest. Verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Communications means company, companions, the people you agree with. They corrupt good character. Verse 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of Elohim. I speak this to your shame. Romans 13:11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of ignorance, for now is our deliverance nearer than we believed. The churches are assembly lines of deception. The company and communications you agree with corrupt you because they don't speak or even know the truth, even though it seems like they do. Paul goes on to explain that all flesh is not the same flesh, that there are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. Terrestrial bodies are those born of the earth and would include the other races and the Jews. They don't hold the Spirit of Yahweh and they are not His children. They are outside the promises and covenants made with the celestial bodies. The celestial bodies are those of the race of Adam, the only people with the Spirit and DNA of Yahweh who are born from above. Even Nicodemus didn't know this, as he used the words born again, and the churches based their born-again doctrine on Nicodemus' verbal errors. Christ used the words for born from above. Big difference. Verse 42. So also is the restoration of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised from the grave in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, or it is sown in infirmity or unfirmness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. When we are born from above into the flesh and blood race of Adam, we are born into a sinful society. We are vulnerable to infirmities and unfirmness, and if we answer the call of the divine influence, we are roused with life and become witnesses with the ability to edify and make firm our unfirm kinsmen. Only through the knowledge of the truth, of obedience to the belief, and the allegiance with the correct Messiah, are we raised in our spiritual Shekinah glorified bodies. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Elohim, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. John 3:5. Yeshua answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the reign of Elohim. Born from above through the childbirth, or water breaking, into the race of Adam, which has the Spirit and DNA of Yahweh. If you are not an Adamite, you will not inherit the kingdom. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Fallen asleep, slept, and sleep is G2837, koimaho, a verb meaning to put to sleep, to slumber, be dead. Repose is the act of resting, or the state of being at rest. Paul describes that we are in a type of sleep until the King returns.
The law from your mouth is more precious to me and thousands of pieces of silver and of gold.